Welcome to Heart, Hustle, and Humor, a show for dedicated, hardworking, fun entrepreneurs and business owners who want to build a business bigger than their own satisfaction. We all know heart got you started, hustle made it happen, and humor got you through it. This is the only place you can get inspired and motivated by my guests who are using the trifecta of heart, hustle, and humor in their business. It's time to dream higher. Today's episode is brought to you by Kaleidoscope Media Services. Kaleidoscope Media Services helps professionals scale their business by adding digital products for success. I'm your host, Dr. T. Welcome to another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. I'm your host, Dr. T. And in studio today, I have Bruce Werner. He is the managing director of Kona Advisors, which provides advisory services to owners and investors of private and family-owned companies. Bruce writes and speaks on boardroom issues of concern to private and family businesses. He serves as the chairman of the Director Development and Referral Program for the Private Director Association. Bruce has acted as a principal or consultant to several investment firms. Bruce spent 12 years at Werner Holding Company. During his tenure, the company grew, ready, $180 million to over $500 million in revenue. He also co-founded a technology company that developed proprietary products for the engineering workstation market. Bruce earned his BS degree in mechanical engineering and engineering and public policy with honors from Carnegie Mellon University, earned an IBM fellowship, graduated from Stanford University with an MS degree in manufacturing systems engineering, and completed his MS management degree at MIT Sloan School. Now, that is not even close to all of his accomplishments, but we only have a few minutes on this podcast. So he is an amazing consultant, author, speaker, and I actually had the privilege of meeting Bruce through our mutual publisher, Henry DeVries, at Indie Books International. And Bruce, before we wrap up today, I'm going to talk to you more about your upcoming book called Your Ownership Journey. So welcome to the show today.
Thank you for having me. Hello to all your audience.
And, you know, as always, we talk about heart, hustle, and humor. And I want to jump right in because you have a breadth of knowledge and an understanding of so many opportunities out there in the workforce. And right now, what do you see? How do you see people reacting and maintaining that excitement and that focus for their businesses right now?
You know, the answer is broad and a little bit all over the map. But in terms of the people being successful, I always go back to Darwin. I was in the Galapagos Islands years ago. We had great guides. We learned all about it. And I found out I had always been wrong. You know, we always learn Darwin said survival of the fittest. He never said it. What he said was survival of the most adaptable.
Yes,
and when you talk about what's happening today, it's about adapting to new circumstances. COVID has harshly picked winners and losers with no heart and no humor. And there's people whose businesses exploded and those who have suffered drastically. But it comes back to adapting. And I'll give you one war story to sum it up. I'm on the board of a privately owned company that makes furniture. And when the state of Illinois was shut down due to COVID, CEO, longtime friend and client, called me and said, am I an essential business or not? Because if you're an essential business, you can operate. If not, it was hard stop, close, game over. And I said, Steve, you got to be kidding me. You sell tables and chairs and desks. What's essential about that? He goes, I guess so. About a half hour, Steve called me back and said, wait a minute, I'm essential. Everyone's working from home. They all need a table and chair. And in fact, I was wrong. He was right. His business exploded.
Yeah.
Last December, we finally, we recapped the company. Second generation family business sold the business. They are thrilled with the results. And COVID was, I hate to say it, the best thing that happened to their business because they adapted and they were on the good side of the COVID list, not the bad side of the COVID.
Right. Well, I talk a lot about this adaptability. And, you know, in our environment today, I tell people that, you know, you have this opportunity right now to make a shift and nobody will question a shift in your business. You know, I mean, do you agree with that?
It's a little bit of a free pass if you think through it and you're making a informed choice, not one out of desperation. Mm-hmm. If you need to go through restructuring, we can talk about that, but everyone is kind of reassessing, first of all, life. So the reason you can't, the great resignation is about people saying, I'm working full time and all my money goes to my nanny, my babysitter. Why don't I stay home with my kids? Why do I live in a city which is expensive if I can work remote from like out in the mountains? Mm-hmm. The hard part is what makes me happy in life? How do I spend the hours on this rock that I have in a way that's most meaningful? I need to make a living, but most people don't live to work. And so it is probably the first time in my life where people could say, what do you want to do? As compared to my generation, my parents' generation, my parents were depression babies. All they wanted to do is put food on the table. Mm-hmm. And we were taught to work, but we're fortunate to live in a great country where you have choice and you can migrate, you can change jobs, and people accept that.
Right. And I like that, because the term that you put it is not out of desperation, right?
Right. And my first business, I went broke. I literally had the IRS walk in to collect money. Hmm. Fortunately, I was out to lunch, which is actually a true story. So been there, done that, don't need to do that again. Informed choice. That's right. A great thing about the way our country runs.
Well, and it goes back to what you and I had talked about leading a good life.
Character counts.
Yeah.
When I was young and, thought we were going to take over the world and we're so smart and my parents don't know and I'll do better and all that stuff, I get older and it's like, oh boy, was I wrong. Carl Jung was a famous psychologist, and his a quote attributed to him, not sure if it's true or not, is, I will accept no patient before 40 because they're still children and I don't work with children. When I was in my 30s, I think, oh no, we're smart enough. And somewhere around 40, 41, I started to question myself, and I'm a bit past that, like, what was I thinking? So character counts. Mm-hmm. In that your character as a person, how you deport yourself, how you treat your employees and your clients is what people really remember. When things are going great, it's fine. But when the chips are down, if you need to shift your business because COVID went against you and you need a favor from a banker, a friend, a customer, character counts. If you've got good character, most people will try to lend you a hand. If you're not worthy, it comes back and, you got to know who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. You're a pretty busy guy. I mean, you've got a lot going on. You're really shifting the way businesses are working. You're obviously have been an inventor, and you spend time teaching people. There's a lot of things going on. How are you balancing it in our environment today?
Well, that's a great question. In the early part of my life, when I worked for a family business, a third generation family business, I never counted how many hours I worked. I'd count how many hours I didn't work. So, a comfortable pace was 60 hours a week. I traveled 45 weeks a year, leave Monday at 6 a.m., come home Thursday about 10, 11, Friday in the office, Saturday was soccer, pay the bills, and back on the plane. And I have shifted, first of all, what's important, what's worth doing. If you're fortunate to have some success, you get more choices. You reassess your priorities about, am I really going to kill myself for that small piece of work, which is never going to repeat? And I won't be able to collect anyway from the guy. Okay. It gets back to, what do you want to do with your life? What gives you enjoyment? And the big issue for me is, what do you want to leave behind?
Yeah.
To me, the issue isn't how much money do you make? It's how do you impact the people who come after you? Right. How do you change lives for the long term? That's making money is hard, but people figure out how to do it. When I walk into a new business, my first question is, how do we double your revenue in the next couple of years? Or, something like that.
Sure.
To me, it's about moving the needle. If I can't have that kind of impact, I'm probably the wrong guy. I want to make a difference, whether it's in my nonprofit work, my for-profit work, or just, in the community I live in.
you know, in our business at Kaleidoscope Media Services, you know, we talk a lot about leaving that legacy. What is it that you really want to have an impact? And that's why we encourage people to create digital products, because you can make a greater impact as you're sending your digital product out to people, more people at a different price point. And I think people want this balance. They want to have not that 60, 70 hour a week anymore. It's just not going to be in the cards for a lot of us.
The vast majority of people work to live, not live to work. Yeah. The investment bankers and the high-end law firms, people gravitate there because that's what actually does make them happy. And you know, no judgment. They know who they are. God bless. Right. I'm happy people do that work because society needs it. But I look at my own kids who are in their 20s, who are well-educated, you know, have their choice, and they have, you know, meaningful jobs. But my daughter is always in the mountains on the weekend hiking. Yeah. And, you know, if it needs to get done, she'll get it done, but work to live.
Yeah. Okay. You have two daughters that you're extremely, as you said, they're your best investment, right? Yeah. You know, for me, it's my nieces and nephews, and it's how do I spend time with them? I love my work and I'll get it done. I'll hustle to do whatever we need to do, but I am going to schedule time to go and play golf. Like you play golf, you're always outdoors. I'm going to schedule that time because I'm better for it when I come back to work.
Nobody died saying, I wish I spent more time at the office.
Yeah, I don't want that on my epitaph. That is not what I want, right? Yeah, I don't know. I think we still have to hustle, but it's hustling differently for what makes sense for your business and for your lifestyle, not what the status quo used to be. And that's where remote work comes in. And I would imagine that, you know, it's been a little bit of shift for businesses with some of the remote work.
Dramatically, you know, a trite phrase is work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And what is true is that when you're just out of time, you can't work harder.
Yeah.
So why wait till you're completely tapped out when you become inefficient? Because you're just too strained, you're too stressed, you don't think clearly. Why not work smarter when you're in balance?
Yeah. But do you think when you go in and you're doing consulting with your businesses that a big portion of what you do is sort of create those projected goals, have people understand that, and that allows people to kind of take that deep breath and feel more comfortable in their roles now in today's crazy, unpredictable world?
I have a process. Maybe let's just spend a minute, kind of walk through it. You know, my target market are privately owned businesses, 10 to 100 million revenue. Okay. I certainly work with companies larger, you know, much larger and smaller, but that's kind of the sweet spot for me. I always work with owners. I help owners solve the problems that keep them awake at night. Most people know how to run their business. They know how to make money. They have ups and downs. They can stomach it. The issue is you own your business and something new happens that you've never seen before. And you just don't know what to do, like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
That tends to be where my phone rings. And so my process is, let's start with, what are your ownership goals? Mm-hmm. Not the business, but you as a human being. Also called, what do you want to be when you grow up? For most people, it's, I have a vision of how I want to live when I'm in that nirvana state. Mm-hmm. I need a certain amount of money and I want a certain work-life balance. And I've got this dream years forward with this gray zone between here and there. Great. We're going to call that point B. We know where you are today. That's point A. My goal is to define a clear point B, and I will build your road from A to B. So how do we do it? We know where you want to get to. So what does the business have to do to allow you to achieve that point B? It usually is you need a certain number and a certain this and a certain that. Great. Let's map that out. Now we say, let's build your business strategy so the business accomplishes what you need. So as an owner, you can get to where you want to go. Well, once I have the business strategy in place, it's going to need capital and talent. Great. Let's go get that. I'll help you raise the money, find the talent. Now let's build an execution machine. You got lots of stuff to do over the next 3 to 5 years. Let's get that machine running right, keep it oiled and all that kind of stuff. Maybe there's some M&A along the way. You want to buy a competitor. Most private company owners have never bought a business before. In fact, The only transaction they do is when they sell their own, and they're the only person who has no idea what's going on. I help with that too. So yeah. We do some M&A. There's usually some conflict management along the way. You need to develop a management team, some succession planning. You need a pat in the back and a kick in the ass every now and then. And then towards the end, it's like, hey, maybe I'm ready to get off this ship. It's time to sell the business. I help with the succession and the exit planning. And the last piece, which is the most important part, is what I call life after the deal. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of people who sell their business 3 years later, they have a huge pile of money and they're absolutely miserable. Yeah. And to me, that's a sin. They're miserable because they define themselves as a job, not as a human being. Let's tie that back to the ownership strategy of what's going to make me happy as a human being. You are not a job, you're a person. And when my dad retired, dad turns 91 tomorrow. He won the game of life, absolutely. And I met his neighbors who were these really successful, high-powered business people out of, you know, New York and LA and whatnot. And now they're just another old guy at the golf course. They got no one to boss around. And a bunch of them died within like 6 months because they had no purpose. I mean, literally died.
Right.
This was, you know, a long time ago. I was like, well, why do you want to work your whole life for that? That makes no sense.
Right.
Let's figure out what makes you happy as a person. And as we move you towards the exit, you know, if you're working nonstop, you don't have that balance, you don't have hobbies. Typically with guys, they don't make friends as they age. Mm-hmm. They're friendly with their spouses or partners.
Yeah.
Husbands. broad generalizations, there's all kind of variations.
Sure, sure.
But it's hey, you got this part of that planning for the exit. You have to start building your new life 3 to 5 years beforehand.
Yeah.
If you're going to move to Florida, move to Arizona, you got to make new friends out there. How are you going to do it? Oh, you need to join a country club or a church or, you know, the Kiwanis. That's real work, which is actually really hard for people who are, you know, master of their kingdom at work, but like, you're just another guy or gal. And so I really stress that when the time comes, you know, figure that out, invest in yourself by building those relationships so that when you put the keys on the table and walk out, you're excited to go in your new life.
Yeah.
I know lots of people said, I'm never selling my business because I got nothing to do. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But most people, that's not true. Yeah. You know, that last chapter of the book ought to be the best part, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you work all this time?
That was the whole point.
Right.
Right. You know,
40 years of hard work to be miserable.
Right. Yeah. Oh, no.
So that's kind of the last piece of this process I look through. And it's really the life cycle of owning a private business. And the one piece I'd add to that is if it's a family business, there's another layer of nuance. I'm from a third generation family business. We had 3,500 employees, 4 dads and 6 sons in the boardroom. You know, 2 of the sons came out of Goldman Sachs. I started a company when I was 25. One was corporate raider. I mean, these are no shrinking violets, right?
Right.
And I've worked with dozens of family businesses, all the kooky things that happen with family businesses. And so that just makes it more interesting.
Oh, yeah. You talk about family dynamics, right?
I had a true story. I had hired by a family. Mom and dad were in their early 80s. The 3 kids were in their 50s. They were all in the business. Business was in trouble for their own fault. And I walk in and find out the 58-year-old son and 56-year-old daughter were still arguing over the bicycle they shared in 3rd grade, and one took a swing at the other. I was like, really? True story. It's like, okay,
right.
Gonna need a little different approach than what I normally do, but okay,
right. Go buy 2 new bicycles, bring them in and say, okay, the fight's been settled, let's move on.
If it were only that easy. Part of that adapting that we spoke about, life has adversities for everyone, is learning to let go. Because when the situation's over, if all you have is anger, you're just punishing yourself. You got to learn what to let go of and what to hang on to. And that goes back to kind of that character and being smart about the past is behind you, the whole Hakuna Matata thing. How are you going to make tomorrow better than today? That's the question. And it can be tough to realize it's just that simple.
I completely, wholeheartedly agree. Sometimes it's just that simple. But all right, so you got to tell me, how does humor play into all of this? Because family businesses, life, we've got to have some levity in it.
It's very simple. Humor is what keeps us human and allows us to get through the darkest hours.
Yeah.
When you lose your humor, even when it's bad humor, you kind of lose a piece of who you are and what it means to be human. And I could pick on CPAs and lawyers and people considered to have dry personalities and very technical fields. I mean, I have a master's in engineering. Let me tell you,
you're right.
There's no stand-up comics in that crowd. although engineers tend to have great humor if you're an engineer and you can understand the joke, which the average person is blessed not to have to deal with.
Yeah.
But within engineering circles, there's all kind of humor stuff that, as in any trade or discipline, you got to be able to laugh at yourself. And if you can't, then you're missing a part of life and you lose your ability to connect with others, both those you are close to and those who may just be strangers on the plane next to you.
Yeah. And I think with all the things going on in the world and all the negativity, we just have to have a circle of people where we can just, where we just go and have a good time and have those, laughs and telling stories and the funny things. And I literally broke my finger and I wish I had a good story, but I was literally just walking and I fell. So I just have to laugh at myself. Like, those are the things you just go, well, all right, today's a different day and we're going to go.
Proving again, you got to be able to laugh at yourself.
That's right. Yeah. I do want to get to your book, your ownership journey. Tell us a little bit about your book and how people can get it in their hand.
Great. Thank you. So the book came out this week. The book goes through the life cycle of owning a private business, kind of the steps I walked through a few minutes ago. It is live on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and type in Bruce Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R, there's three versions, a hardback, a softback, and a Kindle. The audiobook will be out in a couple of weeks. To get a hold of me, my website is Kona Advisors, K-O-N-A, like Hawaii, K-O-N-A, A-D-V-I-S-O-R-S. There's a contact form there. And my email is bruce@konaadvisors.com.
It just came out, so it's on my list of purchases, and I cannot wait to get it in my hand to read it, digest it. And I know it's a fabulous book because Henry is a great publisher, and he keeps us on track, and he makes us bring out such value in our writing and in our books. So I can't wait to get a copy of that.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as we wrap up, if you could just leave us with just that last little piece of information, that nugget that you want to share with the listeners.
Wow, a hard one. think. Think about what's important.
Yeah.
And stick to it.
I love that. Perfect. Think. All of Bruce's contact is going to be in the show notes. So please, get on Amazon, get his book, Your Ownership Journey. You will not be sorry. If you're ready to really start looking at your business more in depth and creating that journey so that you can exit your business or improve your business, get a hold of him. Don't wait until you want to sell or get rid of it tomorrow. You need to get a hold of him now and start having those in-depth conversations, because he has this wonderful holistic perspective to really helping you generate more revenue and live the life that you want to live. With that, this has been another episode of Heart, Hustle, and Humor. If you like this episode, which I know you will, please share it with your friends. And until next time, hashtag stay great. Are you a professional looking to take your business to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go to kaleidoscopemediaservices.com. Check it out. And if you feel you are ready, then set up a time to talk to me and my co-founder, Laura Neubauer. I'm your host, Dr. T. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share this podcast with your friends.